4 now. All right, did you guys get the warning that it was being recorded?
Yes,
we did.
All right. So our agenda for today is that we are going to just very briefly review the consultation call requirements, so we're all on the same page about that. I am then going to go through what a presentation looks like and talk about the presentation requirements. And then we'll also touch base about the TFCBT certification criteria overall. A couple of little housekeeping things. If folks could mute your lines if you are not talking, there's just, you know, sometimes there's background noise that pops up. Sometimes even just people breathing into the phone lines sounds very loud sometimes for some reason. So if you don't mind, just kind of mute your lines for now. And then obviously when you want to say something, please unmute yourself and please go ahead and contribute as much as you'd like. Another little housekeeping thing, if you get called away for some reason, if you, you know, something comes up, you just have to step away for a moment, please go ahead and either just keep your line muted or hang up the phone. Please don't put us on hold. If you put us on hold, then some music plays, which can be, you know, very nice and soothing, but can also be rather distracting because there's no way for us to shut it off while we're on hold from somebody. So go ahead and just hang up, and you can call back in if that happens to you. Today, it's going to be a lot of me talking again, just kind of explaining things, explaining the setup. In future sessions, that's not how this is going to look, and we'll talk about that. So opening up here with the consultation call requirements, this next piece is more for the people who are listening in, like on the recorded session. Just a reminder that the phone number to call in is 646-558-8656. The meeting ID is 717-606-4767, and then you push pound for your participant ID. In terms of the actual kind of requirements here, there's a total of 12 consultation calls that are offered to each consultation call group. Usually it's about 12 to 14 people or so who are on the attendance list for each of the call groups, just to give you some expectation around that. Each group, generally speaking, in broad terms here, is offered one call per month. If there is somebody who wants to attend more than one call per month, you are certainly welcome to do so. The process for doing that would be to just check out the call calendar. The call calendar can be found on my website. The website address is on the front of your TFCBT packets, just as a reference for you. But I'll say it now. It's www.alicias.place. So that's www.alicias.place. If you go under the TFCBT therapist tab there, a number of documents will pop up. And in one of the first sections, it's the consultation calls and certification section. And so there's an Excel document in there called the consult, or no, I think it's just called the call calendar. And so you can, on that document, it lists out all of the different calls that are active right now. So it has the dates and times of all of the upcoming calls. And so if you want to attend more than one call per month, you are welcome to do so. Just go on that document, find something that works with your schedule, and feel free to call in. You do not have to tell me ahead of time. You can just show up. What's going to happen is that if you're coming at a call that's not your primary call group, then I will just say, hey, what is your primary call group? You would tell me, you know, whatever it is, the fourth Tuesday of the month at, you know, 12 or whatever it is. And then I can go find your attendance information and give you credit that way. I have about probably like 25 or 30 calls that are going on right now. So you are welcome to attend as many as you want to. Knock yourself out. But I can only give you credit for 2 calls per calendar month. And that is something that is mandated by the developers of TFCBT, the certification team. They really want people to be in consultation for at least 6 months before they kind of are okay with signing off on your certification as a TFCBT therapist. And so just to keep that in mind, so you can attend as many as you want, but I can only give you credit for 2 calls per calendar month. And you can't like graduate the process before 6 months from the date of your 2-day training. Additional requirements. So there's an attendance requirement, and the attendance requirement is 75% of the calls. So that would, you know, doing the math there, it translates to 9 out of 12 calls. So a minimum of 9 calls in order to meet that graduation criteria for the process here. I can give you credit for attending a call if you attend 80% of that call. So the vast majority of my calls go the full 60 minutes. And so that would translate into needing to be on the phone line for at least 50 minutes of that time in order to get credit for it. The expectation is that folks will generally present twice over the course of your call cycle. In terms of like minimum requirements here, in order to meet the graduation criteria, you have to present at least one time. If you're not able to present for whatever reason, then I can't graduate you from the consultation call process. So we do want to make sure that we can get those, make sure you get your attendance requirement in and your presentation requirement in. There is a deadline associated with the consultation call process that I want everybody to be aware of up front. And so you can think about the date of your 2-day training, your live training. You have 2 years from that date in order to get your consultation call requirements done. So in 2 years, you need to attend at least 9 calls and present at least one time. And if you do that, you're good to go. I can mark you off as a graduate. If you're not able to get it in within that 2-year time frame, then I'm afraid you're going to have to retake the 2-day training. That's the one of the regulations out there about this stuff. So just keep that in mind as you're looking at your calendars and trying to figure out what's best for you in terms of coming up with a plan for this TFCBT journey here. In terms of the call format, so usually how it works is that people kind of, you know, they're coming in, I'm taking attendance for the first couple of minutes, and then I turn it over to presenter number one. Presenter number one will present their case for 10 or 15 minutes. They will then be given 10 or 15 minutes worth of feedback from the whole group. So that's when everybody gets a chance to shine and give their feedback and really sort of help each other out there. And then we turn it over to presenter number two. Presenter number two presents for 10 or 15 minutes, and then they get 10 or 15 minutes worth of feedback from the whole group. And then at the end of the call, that's when we open it up to additional questions. So if you had a case question that you were struggling with, that would be a beautiful time to ask that question. Or if there's some sort of logistical question that you're kind of wondering about, then that would be a great time to ask that question as well. We do want people to be, you know, we don't want you to just kind of turn us on in the background and, you know, be responding to emails or doing other work during these calls. We do want people to be active listeners while they're here and to really get something out of it. What all of the research says about this is that if you're sort of actively engaged in the consultation call process, not just with TFCBT, but with other training programs that do that, if you have that follow-up, then you actually make changes to your practice and you actually get something out of it. And so there's, you know, better outcomes for the clients overall for those who are active participants in this process. So that is why we encourage that. Definitely come prepared with your questions ahead of time, because I would love to be able to help you out as much as I can. So those are the consultation call requirements. Any questions about those before I jump into the actual presentation stuff?
Hey, this is Ricky. I actually joined the call about 12:05. I just wanted to make sure we didn't take attendance at the beginning. Did I miss that? Or
we did. That's okay. Thank you. I got you down.
All right. Thanks.
All right. So I am now turning to the clinical case presentation, the format here. I am referencing handout number 17 in your TFCBT packets, if you happen to have those handy. If not, no worries. This is another document that you can access on the website, that www.alicias.place under the TFCBT Therapist tab. There's a Word document, I think, in there that's called presentation sample or something like that. And so you can go ahead and download that from the website so that you have an electronic copy that you can play with and you can put all of your information in. We do have you fill out these presentations and email them to me ahead of time so that I can email it to the rest of the group. So everybody can kind of follow along and kind of, you know, go back and reference things along the way so that we can really kind of pay attention and keep things moving here.
Alicia?
Yes.
Can you go back to what you said? You could download the sheets on the website because you said it's on page 17 in the book.
It's on page 17. Yeah, the hard copy is handout number 17 in the book. Or if you go onto the website for an electronic version, that's www.alicias.place. And then under the TFCBT therapist tab, there's a section that says calls and certification. And there's a Word document there.
That's, all right, thank you.
Yeah. And so that electronic copy will hopefully be helpful for you guys as you're, you know, entering your own information and being able to send it off so you're not having to reinvent the wheel here. Let's see. Oh, in terms of getting the presentation to me, I mean, you don't have to send them out terribly far in advance. If you just like emailed it like 5 minutes before the start of the call, then that would be fine. You can definitely do that. I used to have more opportunity to take a peek at them and look through them all beforehand, but that is, time is short. So I just kind of do it during the call with everybody else. All right, and so in terms of the presentation itself, I like to have people open up with their clinical questions. And even though it can seem a little odd to do that sometimes because you don't have any context for those clinical questions, we found that while many of us are able to be sitting at our computers and we have all this information in front of us, there are others who don't have that luxury. You know, maybe they are running off to see an in-home client or they're you know, lots of these calls are during the lunch hour. So maybe you're running off to grab lunch. And so you're very helpfully multitasking to try to fit everything in. And so we found that if you start with the clinical questions, it helps to really focus everybody's attention on what feedback you're looking for. And so as you continue along with your presentation, that can be helpful. So we start with those clinical questions just to frame everybody's attention here. The first page of this handout that I'm looking at here, it's really all meant to be an overview of the information. I mean, theoretically, you could give us like the full intake background that you took, but that's not really what we're going for these presentations. They're much shorter than that. So just kind of the first real section here is the client profile. And so it's really just an overview of what are the important things that stand out for you. What are those variables that have kind of... It has influenced your case conceptualization somehow, and so the group should know about it. So maybe those are things like there's a custody issue going on, or maybe there's like a medical condition that's in the background and influencing some things, and so you might want to talk about those things. Or maybe there's something interesting about the living situation that might be coloring how you're viewing the case. And so any of those types of things might be good things to include in this client profile. We then go on and give everybody an overview of the trauma history. And again, this doesn't have to be the full like trauma narrative kind of thing. It might just be a couple of sentences. It could be something as simple as, you know, S was referred about 2 months ago related to allegations of child sexual abuse perpetrated by her uncle. And that would cover it for you for that section. We then go into the assessment results, and here I will take a moment to remind everybody that the assessment piece is required for those of you who are interested in certification. And so we want people to do a pre-assessment, so early on in treatment or even before you even start treatment, what are their symptoms, what's that picture look like from a screener, and then again at the end of treatment, as you're nearing the end, do it again, and then you can see all of that progress. You can certainly do more screeners and do them more often. If you are somebody who really likes assessments and finds that helpful, you can definitely do that. Many people will end up doing like an assessment at the beginning, an assessment after prac skills, and an assessment at the end of the TFCBT process just to see how they're doing, how the clients are doing, which is an option too. for the assessments, just any screener that measures PTSD symptoms is fine. And so as long as you have some sort of like validated measure, like the CPSS or the UCLA, the trauma symptom checklist for children or trauma symptom checklist for young children, the CATS, like any of those kinds of measures would be great screeners for PTSD symptoms. And there are others that, you know, it's not an exhaustive list. So whatever your agency or what you prefer around that is fine, as long as it measures trauma symptoms and you can sort of get that progress over time. In terms of the reporting of the assessment results, you don't have to report every like subscale that you do. Some people do, they just do the total score. You know, for example, if you gave the CPSS, maybe the total score was a 26 on this sample that I'm looking at here. And so then you could just say a total score of 26 indicates, moderate symptoms of PTSD or whatever it is. And so that is adequate. You can do that. If there's something interesting about the assessment results that kind of stands out, then maybe you would highlight that in this section. But this again, does not have to be something that is very lengthy. It's just kind of a snapshot for everybody. Any questions about assessment? All right, so the next section here is the caregiver involvement section. And this would be things like, obviously how involved the caregiver is. So how are they, are they attentive? Are they supportive? Are they believing of their kid's disclosure if it's that kind of trauma? This might be a good section to talk about if the parent has their own trauma history, and so that's coloring things. That might be a good section to put that kind of information in. But anything that just kind of stands out about the caregiver that, again, might be influencing your case conceptualization could go there. So all of that stuff has been an overview, just kind of giving us a snapshot of the client. And then we get to the section that's the review of the practice components. And this is the section where I would like folks to be a little bit more detailed about. This is, after all, a TFCBT consultation call process here. And so kind of going letter by letter there in that practice acronym. So for the psychoeducation phase, exactly what did you do for that section? So both in terms of like what topics have you covered and what methods did you use to cover those topics? The example here is they played the what do you know card game. They reviewed education on child sexual abuse and domestic violence. They provided the parents with psychoeducation on those things as well. And then they give a little clip about how the client responded to that. And so this section, we do really want to be a little bit more detailed, in part so that we know where you've already been, right? So we're not going to recommend that you repeat things that you've already done. So that's helpful in terms of giving feedback. It's also helpful in case there are folks who haven't thought about that method that you chose to use and that was helpful or unhelpful. You can give feedback about both sides of the spectrum there. So I did this activity, it really tanked, I don't recommend it at all. Or I did this activity, the kid responded really well, and so maybe you guys want to try it too. And so this section would be kind of a list of all the different resources that are out there, and people can be sharing resources and learning and growing in that way as well. If there are sections that you guys have not gotten to yet in terms of the practice components, then that is totally fine. You just say, nope, haven't done it yet, haven't gotten that far yet. When you are signing up for a presentation slot, and we'll talk about that in a little bit here, try to sign up for a slot where you would have been able to see the client for at least like 4 or 5 times before your presentation comes up. We want to have more than just the intake to talk about. We want to have like, what are some of the components that you started to work through? How are the practices? Skills going for this kiddo? How does this kid present? Make sure you know them a little bit better. And when I say 4 to 5 sessions, I mean 4 to 5 TFCBT sessions. So if you've been seeing a client for 2 years and you've done a bunch of work already, then great. But like after you transition to TFCBT, have like 4 or 5 TFCBT sessions before your presentation date comes up. Questions about any of that? All right. So then the last section here is any adaptations that you made to the model. And this, for some of you, you will have these wonderful training cases and you're able to follow the model pretty specifically and you don't make any adaptations. And that's a perfectly fine answer. And for others, maybe you have something that's a little bit more complicated, different variables that you had to problem solve. Maybe you're working with a specialized population like foster care or developmental delays, or maybe you're working in a setting that pulls for some of those adaptations, like a residential setting or a group home. And so if you make any adaptations to the model based on those things, then this would be a good section to talk about that. And it can spark a nice conversation about flexibility versus fidelity to the model, which can always be kind of helpful. All right, so before I move on to the TFCBT certification criteria, any questions about presentation stuff? All right, so I am turning to handout number 18 in your books, if you're following along for the TFCBT certification criteria. If you go to the website, tfcbt.org, that's that website is run by the developers of TFCBT. And so they have all of the latest up-to-date criteria there. So I would definitely recommend checking that out if you are, coming back to this after a while. Right now, the criteria are listed as folks need to, before you can... So not right now, not at this particular snapshot in time, but before you can apply for certification, you have to have met these criteria. So number one is having a master's degree in a mental health field. Number two is being licensed. Number three is completing your TFCBT web so you can upload your completion certificate. Number four is attending the live two-day training, which you've all done with a national trainer. And so make sure that you have your attendance certificate so you can upload that to prove that you've been to that training. Number five is doing the consultation call requirements that we talked about a little while ago. So at least 9 calls and at least one presentation in order to graduate from that consultation call process. And after you graduate, I submit your name to the TFCBT certification team. And so they can have it in their system so that when you go to apply for certification, they can check your records, like what you're submitting with the records that they have. Criteria number 6 is to complete 3 TFCBT training cases. At least 2 out of those 3 cases have to involve the active participation of a caregiver. Or if you work in a residential setting and you're using like a staff member, then that's fine too, like a third party, like an adult. So at least 2 out of those 3 training cases have to involve that third party, that adult with the kiddo, so that you can be practicing those components as well. There is no deadline in completing those 3 TFCBT cases. So although I said that there was a 2-year deadline to complete your consultation call requirements, there is no deadline in completing your case requirements. So make sure you get all of your call requirements in within 2 years, but if it takes you 5 years to complete your 3 training cases, then that's totally fine. You don't get dinged for that. And so, 5 years down the road, when you complete those 3 cases, then you can apply for certification. And then the 7th requirement is to use the standardized measure. And I believe that they call them instruments on the application, just so that doesn't throw you off. So a screening, measure, assessment instrument, something like that. And making sure you do that pre and post data point so that you have the treatment progress. You do not have to upload any client information into the certification website. It's just like for these last couple of criteria, the completing of the TFCBT cases and the standardized measures, they're just going to ask you to sign an attestation agreement that basically says, like, yes, I promise that I've met this requirement. I promise that I've done that. They're not going to ask you to upload any client data or anything. So you have to complete all 7 of those requirements before you will be given access to take the exam. So all 7 of those things have to be completely done. You submit part 1 of your application with proof of all 7 of those first things. And then after the certification team reviews that part 1 of your application, at that point they'll give you access to take the exam. You have to pass the exam with an 80% or more, and then you're good to go. And then you'll be listed on the national website as a nationally certified TFCBT therapist. Questions about certification criteria?
Nope.
Okay. So at this point, I'm going to turn off the recording here because I'm going to turn it over to you guys to see what cases you guys are working on, make sure you don't have any questions, make sure they're appropriate, all of those kinds of things. But we don't have to record that for anybody else. So I'm going to just stop it here.